Okay, so I'm Nigel's Head of Housing Strategy and Policy, London Borough of Hackney. He's going to drill us down slightly more into some of the economic realities of this.
Okay, thanks, Jo. Morning, everybody. What was interesting to me that was coming back from both the presentations there were issues that were coming back in Hackney. We've done a number of surveys recently. One was carried out by ORS. They surveyed 2,000 people in the borough as part of our strategic housing market assessment. And the burning issues that were coming back there from people in the private rented sector was overcrowding. The other issue was security of tenure. And the other issue was concerns around affordability. And that's been supported by surveys we've done recently. We've done a recent piece of work with HQN around potential of introducing a licensing scheme or not. And it's also come back from our scrutiny commission, and we've had like almost like a running sort of questionnaire that's been going on. So those issues are very, very prevalent in Hackney, which I'll come back onto in a bit more detail. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you some of the other side of the argument in terms of some of the potential difficulties of introducing rent stabilisation. And I think it's, to be fair, to the balance, about a balanced perspective, it's almost like the landlord perspective on the impact of rent stabilisation. And then I'm going to touch on rent stabilisation, some of the benefits for tenants. And then I'll tell you a bit more about what we're doing in Hackney, particularly our 10 steps to a better private rented sector campaign. So, just to recap, what's rent stabilisation trying to achieve? We've heard from John in particular. Primarily it's about injecting greater security of tenure and stability into the private rented sector. It's about greater transparency and honesty in the process. Again, that comes back from our questionnaires, surveys of tenants. The Vox Pop, is it Vox Pop? Sort of comments on our most recent survey was, I didn't know there was going to be a rent increase. It went from £1,300 a month up to £1,700 a month. And the landlord gave me 2 days' notice of this. So there isn't that transparency, there isn't that honesty within in the process. And also, I think, if it's linked to other initiatives, because it can't be seen and taken forward out of isolation, it can create the environment for and complement the establishment of a stable regulatory regime, and of course, because people are going to have potentially longer tenancies, reduce churn in the sector. So, how could it work? We've talked about from Christine, the three, I think it was three steps in terms of the blue line, higher initial rents, longer term tenancies, index linked rent increases over a 3 to 5 year tenancy period. It could work on an individual borough basis, but I would argue probably more effectively on a London-wide basis. So, some sort of variations on the rent stabilisation model. This is sort of more sort of thinking out of the box. So, all rent stabilised, and that's existing rents and new build. As I've said before, rents in some boroughs, a borough rent stabilisation scheme. Some bed-size rent stabilised, particularly the higher bed sizes, or rent stabilised when the PRS reaches a certain percentage of market rents within a borough, and specific types of properties rent stabilised. So what do landlords want from letting a property? So this is really the other side of the argument, trying to get into, well, what would be a landlord perspective on that? Well, there's a range, but you find some landlords want long-term capital appreciation. All of them are looking at a steady and predictable yield income and potentially an upwardly moving yield income. Clearly want to minimise void turnaround times, want to minimise management costs. Now, I'm not saying from that they want to have poor management, but they obviously want to minimise management costs, want to maximise savings, they want an uplift in property values, and essentially, I won't get into the definition of this, ideally they would like good tenants, and I think we would all like good tenants. Okay, so some of the arguments against rent stabilisation. Like, when I was researching this, I found it actually quite it was quite difficult to get specific, I would say, academic arguments that were looking and critiquing against rent stabilisation, because most of the literature I found went back to a study by MIT in Cambridge in the States, where they actually moved from rent control into non-rent control. And that's where I've lifted some of these issues from, but also from other literature. So, stabilisation could artificially restrict and reduce real rent levels, reduce tenant mobility. I think, as Christine was saying, there's in New York, there's no incentive to move out of the property, deter new landlords from entering the market, make existing PRS landlords leave the market, particularly if they're actually looking at yield rates, increasing yield rates. Potentially that could contribute to an overall decline in the overall supply of PRS in London. From the Cambridge study, they were looking at, as I say, people coming out of a rent control period, and they found there was a ripple effect when there was a form of intervention in the market with respect to rents, which actually had the effect of depressing house values. It could reduce funding available for buy-to-lets, and from an economic perspective, could overall reduce the overall market efficiency. Sort of moving on, in terms of the arguments against rent stabilisation, it could lead to reduction overall current and new investment in the PRS. It could make landlords less inclined to invest in stock and undertake repairs. That was the thing that continually came back.
Sorry, that first one doesn't make sense. It lead to a reduction, an overall reduction.
Lead to a reduction
in current and new investment.
Yeah. Sorry. Typo. And it could increase the level of unmet PRS demand, basically because there wasn't the stock in the market and that wasn't people's needs were being addressed. And at the end, as Christine said, it would be very difficult to abolish once it was implemented. So, move on, and this will sort of refresh some of what John said in terms of the arguments in favour of rent stabilisation. Definitely provides certainty for tenants, particularly for older tenants. In Hackney, as I would expect in other boroughs, there is an ageing demographic within the PRS. It isn't just exclusively young sharers, although that's not to say they are a significant proportion of people living in the PRS. Provide investment and income certainty for landlords, potentially stabilise a housing benefit budget and provide some predictability. However, in Hackney, the majority of people living in the PRS are not actually claiming housing benefit. Lease longer tenancies, more settled communities, and allow some conditionality for housing benefit. I won't go into that in detail, but really what I'm thinking about there is that with respect, if you look at the overall housing benefit budget, there is no conditionality on what the state expects from landlords with respect to the payment of that housing benefit. And I'm thinking in terms of housing benefit payment periods, housing benefit levels, with respect to the quality of a property. So if you look from a state DWP perspective, basically, what are they getting for their payments that are going through in the housing benefit? Okay, so move on to what we're doing in Hackney. We've been tasked by our members to explore all available options and assess whether a landlord licensing scheme is appropriate to introduce in Hackney and whether that would address the needs of Hackney residents and particularly people living in the private rented sector. And the reason for that is because the level of the private rented sector in Hackney has doubled over the last 10 years. And we've now got 32,000 renters within the borough, actually over 32,000 renters in the borough. And if you look at the three main tenure groups within Hackney, as I said, PRS has increased. Levels of owner occupation have gone down 10 years from 2001 to 2011, have gone down by 5-6%. And if you look at the social sector has gone down by 7%. So in that context, as well as the other context that many colleagues in the room will be aware of, particularly with respect to managing homelessness, the PRS sector is a key sector for the borough in terms of meeting housing need. So in terms of our 10 steps, I did actually have, I think it was two or three slides that went through each item on the 10 steps in great detail, but I was advised to take that out because nobody would see it, and it is sort of self-promotion for Hackney, but I've got cards here that actually I can leave some afterwards. But basically what we're after is trying to have a balanced approach towards managing the PRS in terms of regulations of the PRS, in terms of improving standards in the PRS, and a balanced approach both for tenants but also for landlords, because we're very aware that we want to encourage landlords into the borough, but clearly there need to be standards with respect to the property that they're letting in the borough. So I'll move to sum up. So in terms of rent stabilisation, in a sort of wider context, I would argue that rent stabilisation can't be taken in isolation. It can't be taken in isolation with respect to regulation of the PRS, and it can't be taken in isolation to a wider London housing investment strategy. In terms of the PRS in general, going back to the rent stabilisation, but also what we're looking to actually promote from a Hackney perspective, we think there's a need to revisit the legislation around the PRS in general. And last time I looked at it, when I looked at the, it wasn't a select committee, it was an all-party committee the year before last, and they identified there were 50 separate acts of Parliament that actually impinged on the private rented sector, and there were 70 pieces of delegated legislation all to do with the PRS. So we would argue in terms of modernising the PRS, in terms of improving the overall PRS offer, in terms of bringing that stability into the market both for tenants and for landlords, there needs to be a stock taken. We recommended before the election that there needs to be a specific housing act that will actually focus on the PRS. So I'll leave it there, and time for questions.